5 and 20, Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. What about this Corinthians? What do you know about Corinthians now, Brother Vincent?
What do I know about it?
Yeah. How many Corinthian letters were there?
Four.
Four Corinthian letters that we have knowledge of. There may have been more. We don't have all the letters that were written in the New Testament, do we?
No.
Do we have the Laodicean letter?
No.
We don't have some of these letters. We do have access to some of them now that we didn't have.
But it wasn't as far as inspired to be in the Bible. I mean, we know that it was all inspired, though, right? I mean,
it was all inspired.
Whether it's in the Bible or not.
Yes. We have history books like the Book of Enoch, and possibly some of that is inspired. It's the use throughout the Bible.
Right.
And we have the Book of Jasher. The Book of Jasher is a history book. We have many other sources. I did a whole series of messages on the extra-biblical evidence of Jesus' birth, life, miraculous ministry, his death, burial, and resurrection. Nothing from the Bible. Nothing. We got it from historical resources. And I mean a lot of historical resources. Of course, we have four Gospels, also in the book of Acts and all the other New Testament letters. But we have a lot of extra-biblical evidence also. Now, the extra-biblical evidence, of course, isn't inspired. But you'd be surprised how it fills in the place. Pontius Pilate's letter to Tiberius Caesar was quite a revelation. He fills in between all of that. And this letter is valid. A lot of people, it's not valid. You'd be surprised how many historical sources quoted it in that time. It's quoted there at that time and referred to many times. Now, so we have at least four Corinthian letters. We have two Corinthian letters that are included in the Bible. They are inspired. They're about Father Paul to who? To the Corinthian church. Why? What was wrong with the Corinthian church here?
It
had a lot of problems, didn't it? Are you glad that the Corinthian church had all those problems? Because we got them today, don't we?
Yep.
So, it's helping us today. We're in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul wrote it, written to the Corinthian church, to correct problems. Now, let's go back and just catch up where we are. I'm going to go from about verse 15 to verse 19 in the Amplified Bible. And he died for all, so that all those who might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died. Who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value, not according to the world. The Jews had a perverted sense of value, didn't they not? If you were rich, God liked you, and you were blessed because you were doing good. If you were poor, then God didn't like you. And there had to be something wrong with you. You had to be some terrible sinner. If you were blind, it was somebody's fault. If you had leprosy, what terrible sin had you committed? All of these things were, if you were dying, well, he died young. Oh, well, he's a bad person. They looked at things from such a, what we call a materialistic view. And Jesus straightened that out a little bit, didn't he? No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. We have all these extra biblical evidence of Christ's life. Lots of it. The Jews that hated Jesus even wrote letters, historical letters, disclaiming that he did anything by the power of God, but all the miracles and raising the dead that he did were by the powers of the darkness. They didn't say he didn't do it. They said he did it by the powers of Satan and Beelzebub, which he learned in Egypt. But the Bible said that he would go to Egypt. His son would go to Egypt. He'd call him out of Egypt.
He was just a baby.
Yeah. He was young when he went back. And he lived in Nazareth. Some root out of dry ground. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, HaMashiach, he is a new creation altogether, a new creation. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. But all things are from God, who through Christ Jesus reconciled us to himself, received us in favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. By what? By word and what else? Vincent, you brought that out this morning. By deed, by our lifestyles. By word and deed. When you are saved, does God take away all of your troubles?
No.
No. Brother Ray, what's the first little message I preached to you out there on your lawn? He said, are you happy? Oh, yeah. I just want to tell you something now. Now is the struggle going to begin.
Oh, yes.
You thought you had a struggle before, but now the struggle is going to begin because you've got two worlds fighting against you.
You want to know what's happening? I still didn't get it.
Well, you got it now, don't you?
Well, after a while, I said, man, is this what he's talking about?
Yeah.
I quit.
Rough, isn't it?
Oh, boy.
That song we sang a while ago. Leave all your cares and troubles behind.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
That's not quite true. Yes, we have our cares and troubles, don't we? Do we? Starving half to death, struggling to make bills, meet bills, and all that kind of stuff. We've had for 20 years of that, we've had that, haven't we, Marilyn? 20 years of hard times.
But we have someone to run to now, though. We're not looking for ourselves, our own strength, or somebody else, some other human being.
Lean on him.
Yeah, we lean.
You lean on him.
But
they're not gone, are they? The problems aren't gone. We just lean to deal with them in a different way.
Yeah, they don't evaporate.
Sickness goes away? Why, 3 or 4 years after we got married, I got cancer. Then she got cancer, Marilyn. You got twice. We went through a lot of heartaches and trouble and sicknesses. I had those strokes from the chemotherapy. The radiation almost killed me. And here I am preaching today. Still. I was poisoned. That scoundrels that poisoned me with arsenic and mercury. And they gave me no more than 2 months to live. That was 5 years ago. They said, get your affairs in order. How would you like somebody to tell you that, Brother Ray? I went up there to Kern General Hospital to get him to refer me for chelation down at UCLA or something. I went up there and talked to that doctor. He looked at my chart. He said, you got a bad back. You need an operation. You got both shoulders are bad. Your neck needs an operation. You got a tumor in your chest. They can't even take a biopsy of because it's so dangerous. You got cancer. He said, and now you've been poisoned? You've been poisoned? And now you want me to save your life? And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, this is September. If you're alive in December, come back. I want to see a miracle.
Did you ever go back to him?
No, I didn't.
Well, you should go
back. I ought to show up now, huh? He's probably dead.
Though.
He was old then. He's probably dead.
Yeah,
if it wasn't so hard, that was a Kern General Hospital. He said, what are you doing here? You got insurance. I said, my students told me to come to you and get your infirmary. He said, there's nobody going to save you, boy. Talk to your God. Away with you.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yes, God does take away a lot of our problems with different solutions. We all die, don't we? I told Marilyn a lot of times, I said, I'm hard to kill, aren't I? But I said, it can be done. It can be done. It will be done. One of these days I'll be gone. I'm trying to give you all I can give you. I'm trying to record all the messages I can record and get them out on the website so people all over the world can get them. And that's my last goal in my life. It was God personally and present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation and peace, of the reconciliation back to the favor of God. That's where we start here tonight. And 5 and verse 20 says, Heper Christu, un presbu omen, hos to you, parakaluntos, dihimon. Now, I'm actually saying these words together because that's the way they're supposed to be said. Okay? Now, I could say di and himon, but di has an alpha absent, doesn't it? It's supposed to be dia. So you say dihimon. All right? And then diomatha, hiper Christu, kata la gete, to theo. Hiper Christo un. Now it actually starts with that first third word, un. It says, therefore. Therefore, on behalf of Christ, we are, it's what presbyu. We are ambassadors. We are welcomers. In some churches, they have a welcoming committee, don't they? Greeters. Mm-hmm. We are greeters. Ambassadors. We are an agent set aside to make peace between two parties. We are arbitrators, so to speak. What does God demand for the entrance to heaven? Perfection. But we find that perfection in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not our own perfection. We were sitting at the table a while ago, and Sharon, you were making some comments about stones and bricks. Stones are natural, bricks are made by man. And I led you into something else that's so fabulous. We talk about the tabernacle. We talk about the temple. The tabernacle is a type of Christ, primarily, secondarily, of the church in the church age, in the wilderness age that we live in today. But the temple, Solomon's temple, is a type of Christ in the millennium and secondarily as the church in the millennium. Because that New Jerusalem is going to be the abode of God and man living together. It is what we call saved mankind in that New Jerusalem in it. Only the saved, only the resurrected saved mankind will be in that city. Now, that temple was made out of stones, wasn't it? What about the stones? The stones had to be cut and fitted to where they would fit together someplace else. Okay? And then they were to be brought to Jerusalem and put in place. And there could not be a sound of a saw or a hammer or a chisel in that edifice at all. Why? Because we're saved by grace and grace alone. Christ, our ambassador. Christ, our go-between. Christ, our mediator. Christ, our Hamashiach. O Christos Jesu, the Christ of God, Jesus, Jehovah saves. Jehovah, our Savior, leads us into the promised land, across that river. I went across the River Jordan one time, and I know some of you have. Crossing over Jordan. We'll all cross over Jordan, figuratively, one of these days when we go from this life to another. And if we go to be with God, it'll be because of the merits of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not one sound of a hammer, a saw, or a chisel in that building that Solomon built. Because we're saved by grace and grace alone. saved by grace and grace alone. On behalf of Christ, therefore, we are ambassadors. Just as belonging to God. Parakolontos. This is genitive singular masculine. That's genitive case of what? Possession. Are we God's? We are not our own. We are God's, aren't we? Present participle active. Beseeching. Going alongside each and every person that we come along with. Do you know somebody you want to be saved? Do you know somebody that you want to know to meet the Lord so much? We take them, we put our arm around them, and we lead them and walk them and comfort them and yet tell them you're a sinner. Marilyn, are you a sinner? Are you a sinner?
I guess I am.
Yeah. I know I'm a sinner. You sinners? Well, everybody that we lead to the Lord, we need to tell them we're sinners too. I was once like you. I was lost without Christ. Lost without Christ. And you tell them that I am a saved sinner. And Jesus loves me now. He does. Does Jesus love you? Does He love you? If you're out there in the world, if you're lost without Christ, He gave His Son for you. But you are an enemy of God. Without Christ, you're an enemy of God. Our job as ambassadors is to make peace. We have ambassadors go to different countries, don't we? Try to make peace. That's what we're supposed to do. You don't go over there and start fist fights. You don't go over there and start trouble. Your job is to go over there and make peace between that nation and our nation. And we're supposed to hold a camaraderie between that nation and our nation. Sometimes it's really impossible. How would you like to be a North Korean right now and be an ambassador? Wouldn't work very well, would it? Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Afghanistan, Jordan, ambassadors trying to make peace. The reason why they don't have peace is they got a different idea of everything, don't they? Different idea. I would say to America, don't go try to make everybody a middle-class American citizen, but let them know about Christ in whatever state they're in. That's what Paul said. Whatever state you're in, just love the Lord, ask Him to forgive you and save your soul, and that's it. Beseeching through us, we beg, deomai. The Amatha, first person plural, present indicative. What voice is that, Sharon?
Middle voice.
That means for yourself. We beg because we love them. I remember probably about 8 or 10 years ago in my Areopagus class. By the way, when you go up to Fish Lake Valley, on that little cabin up there, it says Areopagus, the sign that used to be on my classroom. They said nobody can ever teach that class ever again after I taught it. It says it's over with. So they gave me the sign. I took the sign with me. I stuck it up there. Marilyn, we got a cross. She's going to put an Areopagus cross that cross up there, sitting out there someplace. Well, our job is to be reconcilers, peacemakers between mankind and God. Men and God. When we're born into this world, we're born astray. We are that way because of Adam, aren't we? We're going astray because of Adam. But God, through Christ Jesus, is a peacemaker. He's a peacemaker, bringing us back to the Lord. We're sinners. First of all, to come back to God, you have to realize you're a sinner. You got to realize, I'm a sinner. I'm a rat. You might be a higher class rat than the lower class rat, but you're a rat. Really? I mean, Brother Ray, what class would you classify yourself in before you were saved? Down at the bottom or at the top of the pile of rats?
Red men of the rats.
You were the rat of the rats, huh?
So the mayor of Rat Town.
Yeah. We're rats, aren't we? All rats, whether we're at the bottom of the barrel or the top of the barrel, we're rats. We're all enemies against God. But Christ died for how many men?
All
men, that all might be saved. To go to hell, you're not going to go to hell because of sin. You're going to go to hell because of rejecting that Savior. That's what I asked you when you were saved, Brother Ray. I said, would you like to ask the Lord to forgive you for rejecting His Son?
Yes.
Have you asked the Lord to forgive you for rejecting Jesus Christ if you haven't been saved? Would you like to do that out there someplace in the world? We're ambassadors. We're begging you. It says here, we beg. First person plural, present indicative, middle. On behalf of Christ. You be reconciled. Now, look at this. Second person plural, second aorist. Imperative, that's a command. And what kind of voice is it?
Middle.
No. Passive voice.
Okay.
Can a man just come to God on his own? No. There has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. I preach over 7,000 messages in my life, over 7,000. And not one person was ever saved because of me. Not one. If anybody was ever saved in my ministry, it was because of the Spirit of God convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Really? Are you sinners? Yeah, we're sinners. We beg on behalf of Christ. Ye be made reconciled to God. The Amplified Bible says, so we are Christ's ambassadors, God making His appeal to us as were through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you, for His sake, to lay hold of divine favor now offered to you and be reconciled to God. I got something here that says 26 translations combined into one. Now we are ambassadors for Christ's sake as through God did beseech you. This beseech you by us. Therefore, I am an ambassador for Christ, as through God exhorted you by my voice. It is then on Christ's behalf that we are acting as ambassadors, God, as it were, appealing to you through us. So I am an envoy for Christ, God appealing to by me, as it were. And then it says here, it is for Christ, therefore, that I am an envoy, seeing that God makes His appeal through me. You know what a tugboat is?
Tugboat.
Tugboat.
Mm-hmm.
What's a tugboat?
It helps the big boats go down.
The tugboat goes out there through troubled waters and ships, and they drag and pull the big ships into the harbor and put them in a safe place. You're a tugboat, people. You're tugboats. You're tugboats. We're tugboats to go out there and try to beg the world to listen to God. Now, we don't have to do that by on our hands and knees and tears come down our eyes. Sometimes we have to confront people, don't we?
Amen.
Confront. You are a sinner. Oh, no, I'm not a sinner. I'm not bad as him over there. I said, you're worse than him over there. You're a low-down rascal. You're terrible. Sometimes you have to say that. I remember one of my students, Ken Blinn, went back to Indiana, and he preached like I preached. He called them ungodly buzzards and sinners and things like that. And they all the house almost absolutely, the church almost fled from him. They weren't used to that strong. Like they were used to saying, oh, you're a good guy. Go out and do something. You all feel better now today. Go out and go to your job and be happy and everything. And God loves you and all that stuff. When he got up there and started preaching hellfire and damnation and really the Bible and the gospel, they got scared. Some of them got saved. My church members can get saved. I sure do. I've seen piano players get saved, and song leaders and preachers and deacons and all of that kind of stuff get saved.
Mm-hmm.
Deacons are a special bad group. I mean, I think half of them are demon-possessed, you know. I mean, that's what Brother Madden used to say. Damnable deacons. Peter Brooks Churchill was rough on deacons.
Not only that.
Yeah, rough on kids too, wasn't he? Rough on everybody. We see all of this sometimes. I remember one time a preacher preached a message at a state association meeting. And I mean the aisles filled up. Woof. Man, this isn't a church service. This is a revival or something. People got saved at the association meeting. There were representatives and messengers from churches. Some of the deacons got saved. He sure didn't tell them he didn't tell them no doggy story and good time story. He was talking the gospel and touched their hearts. Brother Madden wasn't preached to replace him for a church in Louisiana. Some people call it Lousiana. He went out and preached this church, and he preached one of his hellfire and damnation messages. And then this other guy went down there and preached. And he told them everything they wanted to hear and told them about all their little dead kids out there in the cemeteries and everything else, had them all bawling and going on. And they called him the pastor. And he went over and laughed at Brother Madden. He said, "You went over and preached like you preach." And he said, "I went over and preached." And he said, "What'd you tell them what they wanted to hear?" And he said, "Yeah, I got the job." He said, "You damnable heretic. You had a chance to preach about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and you didn't do it." He said, "God will hold it against you. You know, you go preach to them like you're supposed to preach to them." He didn't. The one kind of preacher he was. So we are the representatives of Christ, as if God was making a request to you through us. We pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. We implore you on Christ's behalf be reconciled to God. As one representing Christ, I beg you be reconciled to God. We entreat you in Christ's name, make your peace with God. Boy, I'll tell you what, when you got somebody going to the gallows or going to the graveyard, you've got a whole lot more foothold on their lives, I'll tell you that much. But everybody's that way, isn't it? Isn't that the way it is always? We're a dying people. We're breathing our last breaths. Yeah. If you died today, where would you be? Where would you go? We're all dying. As His personal representative, we say, make your peace with God. Verse 21. Let's go back. I hope you're liking these different translations. And the Word of God, which is the Word of God, and then what people say about that verse. Ton me nonta. Hamartion. Heper. Himon. Hamartion. Epoi asen. Hinohimes. Genomata. Dikaiosine. Theu in creato. It will start out with not, that particle of negation, may. Not the one having known. Look at that, having known. Not the one having known. That's a participle, second aorist participle active, accusative singular masculine. Sin. Hamartian. Sin. What does sin mean? Jared? What's sin mean? Hamartia. It means to go astray. Now, it doesn't mean to miss the mark, does it? What's the word for miss the mark? You remember? Brother Ray? What's the word for miss the mark in the New Testament? Greek.
Oh, the New Testament?
Astokio.
Astokio.
That is not astokio. This is hamartia. Hamartia means to go astray and cause destruction. Do you know people that their lives are nothing but a trail of destruction? Nothing but a trail of destruction? That's what it means.
I spell
Astokios. Astokio? Oh, I forgot to erase this. something like that. Astokia. Well, I wrote it in Greek. I guess you can get it because it looks almost like English.
Was it Jim?
Yes.
The part where it says he made him, so God made Jesus, what is he talking about there? Verse
21. Okay, we're going to go through that. We're going to come that way.
Okay.
The one having known sin, the one not having known sin on behalf of us, sin he made. He made. In order that we might become righteousness of God in him. Look at that. We might become. That means to change from one state to the other. Barashith bara Elohim et hashamayim we at the arts. That says, in one of the beginnings, He had created God, the heavens and the earth. Then it says, we ha'aris hatia tohu vohu. And it says, and the earth, she had become formless and void. Darkness is over the faces of the deep. Then it says, Spirit God, Meripacheteth, he suffered over and mourned over the face of the deep. That's the plan of salvation right there. Because the Spirit God suffers over every child to be born, the ones that reject and the ones that receive. We might become righteousness of God in him. Now let's look at this 21 in these different translations. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Boy, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf. For our sakes, he made him to be sin, who knew, himself knew nothing of sin. Never experienced sin in his life. Did you know Jesus never experienced sin? Jesus never experienced sin. He never participated in sin. That's Moffat, by the way. For him who had no knowledge of sin, God made him to be sin for us. For God calls Christ, who had never sinned, to be sin for us. For God calls Christ, who himself knew nothing of sin, actually to be sin for our sakes. That's Phillips' translation. Christ was innocent of sin, and yet for our sake God made him one with the sinfulness of men. He bore the burden of sin. In Christ was no sin. That we might be made righteousness of God in him. Dikaiosune, dikaiosune. God judges us perfect. God sees no sin in you. Do you like that, Marilyn? He sees no sin in you. He doesn't see any sin in you. That we might be changed into the righteousness of God in Christ. So that we, through union with him, might become the righteousness of God. So that through union with him, we might come into right standing with God. So that in him we might be turned into the holiness of God. Boy, that's something, isn't it? You're holy. Marilyn, remember you told me that the other day? I'm a saint. You're a saint? Yeah, all of you are saints, aren't you? They're not of earth. You were born of the earth one time. You had a mother and your father. Your father gave you the sin nature and your mother helped it along, right? But now we're saints. We're not of earth. Holiness of God. So that in him we might receive justification from God, just as if we had never sinned. So that in Christ we might be made good, with the goodness of God shining all over us. God sees the glory of Christ's blood on you every day when he looks at you. All right. The sixth chapter. Chapter 6. Let's get this next verse. Acceptable service unto God, 6:1-10. Sine ergontes. D. Kai. Parakalumen. May. Ace. Kano. Tain. Karim. Tu Thiu. Dexaste. Himas. Weak adversity conjunctive particle, page 85, that's they. Moreover, working together, nominee plural masculine, that's the subject, and it's plural, we, present participle active, we working together constantly also. Also, we beseech, we beg. Parakalumen, first person plural, present indicative active. We beseech not unto vanity, an empty purpose, tohu wabohu. All right, not unto deceit. Are there churches out here today deceiving people to come and join them and to do as they say and you get to go to heaven? Are there? There are more of those churches than there are God's churches. There are more people deceived in the world than there are those that know the truth. Now, we're not giving you an empty boat, an empty bag. We're not giving you a dead-end road. Those churches out there are dead-end roads that end up in hell. That's it. There's no way out either. When you get there, there's no U-turns. No U-turns. You go to hell and you're there forever and ever. No U-turn. No way out. No ticket out. We're not giving you a false message. The grace, Tain Karin, the grace of God, to receive. Ye. That grace of God there is a it's an infinite. It's an infinitive. Infinitive what? That's a point of action. First there, it's infinitive. To receive for yourselves. Now let's go back and look at it, 6 and 1. As God's fellow workers, laboring together with Him, then, we beg you not to receive the grace of God in vain. There are many people tell you that if you come to their church, you can be saved. They receive the grace of God in vain. They think that they're receiving the grace of God. The grace of God in vain, that merciful kindness by which God exerts His holy influence upon souls and turns them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them, do not receive it to no purpose. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that we receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, do you know that some of the people that believe that you can get saved and then lose your salvation, this is one of the verses they use. This is one of them. As God's fellow worker, I appeal to you, too, not to accept the favor of God and then waste it. That's good speed. And now to further that work, we entreat you not to offer God's grace as an ineffectual welcome. That's John Knox. Or Knox, that is. As cooperators with God Himself, we beg you then not to fail to use the grace of God. That's Philip's translation. As men who are working with God, we plead with you. Don't let God's love be wasted on you. Believe, repent, and follow. Believe, repent, and follow. Don't let God's love be wasted upon you. Did Jesus Christ die for all men? But will all men effectually come to Him? No. All men will be responsible for what Christ did. for them. They'll pay for it. And in hell, they will pay for their sins also, but they won't go to hell because of sin. They'll go to hell because of rejecting Christ. Sharing in God's work, we urge this appeal upon you. You have received the grace of God. Do not let it go for nothing. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? What's the subject?
In the Corinthians.
Paul is speaking by the inspiration of God, speaking to the Corinthian church.
Right.
What's the subject? Don't waste your place in space and time to go off playing with all this false religion, these Judaizers, and all the problems that they had in this church. I'm glad they had all those problems because we get them straightened out. The word of God washes us. Best soap in the world. Best soap for churches. Best soap for individuals, isn't it? The best detergent there is. A church of the Lord Jesus Christ can lose its whole reputation, can it? It can lose its effectuality in the neighborhood. Have you ever had somebody that you baptized as a church go off into Catholicism? Jehovah's Witness? Mormonism? Islam? You as a church should use your time to educate and to inoculate your church members from heresy. They ought to be inoculated from every heresy that you can do it with. And as your pastor, I'm trying to do that. Inoculate you from heresy. To expose you to the false views. So that you will be a church, and that one day you will look up to Christ and say, we kind of sort of did our job the best we could. I want to give you an invitation right now. We covered a few verses tonight. 5:20-6:1. If you're out there listening to this message and you say, well, what's all this about? It's all about you. It's all about reconciling you to God and then getting you to serve God in one of His New Testament churches and getting you to be able to be an ambassador for Him so that you can bring others to Christ, so that you can build other churches, so that you can build people up in Christ. You take that? Have you taken that oath to God to do that? They say, Lord, I'll do the best I can. I'll do that. We go out to the grocery store, wherever we go, we're ambassadors. As part of the church, you're ambassadors. You're always under the gun, you're always under the light. I remember when Marilyn married me, she thought she could go out and hide. Didn't work, did it? Did it? Wherever you went, people saw you and knew who you were. I don't care where you went. We're that way. We are ambassadors. We're ambassadors for this church. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you're ambassadors. You out there, if you don't know the Lord, repent and call upon Him to save you. And then get to work for Him. Because Christ has something for you to do. Vincent, what song do we have?
524. Just as I am without one plea, but
we commit this message to you and to your spirit. You send it out through all the world, through the internet now. People all over the world will hear this. And I pray that they'll be comforted, that they'll be exhorted, and that they will become to the knowledge of a real God, that you hear them, you're really there, and to stay away from those religions and workmanships of men's hands, that they'll serve you in one of your churches, that they'll love you like you've loved them already. In Jesus' name we send this out for thy sake. Forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.